1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'd like to direct your attention to verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. The Apostle Paul says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. For the past couple of weeks, we have been speaking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who the Spirit is, what the Spirit does, and how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And tonight we come to verse 19 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we want to look at this subject of what it means to quench the Spirit of God. Before Paul closes this letter sent to the church in Thessalonica, he gives the church several exhortations, beginning in verse 12 and going on to verse 27. Paul exhorts believers to know their spiritual leaders and to esteem them highly in love, verses 12 and 13. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And then he calls us then to be at peace among ourselves at the end of verse 13. As he continues these exhortations, the Apostle Paul, verse 14, tells us then to warn the unruly, to comfort the feeble-minded, to support the weak, and to be patient with all. Verse 15, the apostle exhorts believers not to render evil for evil to any man, but to be kind and gracious and tender-hearted. Verse 16, the apostle Paul exhorts us to rejoice always, to always give thanks unto the Lord. In verse 17, he exhorts us to pray and to pray without ceasing, to pray always, because Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Verse 18, the apostle continues and tells us that in everything we ought to give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Verse 20, the apostle Paul exhorts believers. He tells them not to despise prophesying. In other words, do not neglect the teaching or the preaching of the word. The preacher acts as a prophet. The prophet is one who declares the truth of God. And so do not despise the public exhortation of the Word of God. Do not neglect the public ministry of the Word. In verse 21, he tells us to prove or test all things. And we prove and test the spirits. We test all things by the Word of God. Verse 22. The apostle exhorts believers to abstain from all appearance of evil. We've been called unto holiness. We are to be a separated people, and so we are to keep from that which appears to be evil, which appears to be contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 25 through 27, Paul exhorts the church to pray for him and for his fellow laborers in the Lord. He encourages the church to greet one another for Paul. Tell the church, hello, greet the brethren. And then he encourages the church to let his letter be known. Verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Pass the letter along. Let everybody know God's will. Let everybody know the words that I have spoken. And Paul is faithfully doing the work of a preacher here in this letter. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And the Apostle Paul here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is teaching like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is teaching with authority. The Bible says, Christ taught with authority. He did not teach as the scribes. The scribes taught in a non-offensive manner. The scribes taught in a very technical way. But Paul is warning every man. He is teaching every man in all wisdom that he may present every man perfect in Christ. And listen, we need preaching like this. We need to see how needful it is to be exhorted and challenged and reasoned with by preachers. It is good to be confronted with our wrongdoing when we are living sloppy. It is beneficial to be poked and prodded and reminded of our spiritual responsibilities, lest we become spiritually complacent, spiritually cold, worldly, and give way to backsliding. Now, why is Paul preaching in such a way? Well, the reason Paul is reproving and rebuking and exhorting is the same reason why ministers must continue to do so today, though it is very difficult and not often received well. Paul is preaching in such a way because he wants the church of Jesus Christ to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He desires their sanctification. He desires their conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not seeking to be a lord over God's heritage. Paul is not gaining pleasure by making people feel bad. Paul is not seeking to be a bully from the pulpit. No, Paul wants others to have spiritual victory. Paul wants the people of God to be effective servants for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul preaches in such a way not to hurt the church, but to help the church. He urges others to implement these biblical principles in their life because Paul knows how powerful the pull of the world is. Paul knows how sly the devil is. He knows how weak the flesh is. And not only does he know these things, he has seen these things. The Apostle Paul has seen believers fall. He has seen professing Christians ruin their testimonies. He has seen spiritual leaders forsake the work of the Lord for the world. He has seen others reject these truths, leading to spiritual shipwreck. And among all the exhortations that Paul gives, Paul warns the believers of a danger regarding the relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, a third person in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And almost in the middle here, among these exhortations, the Apostle Paul writes, "Quench not the Spirit." And he is teaching believers that the Holy Spirit can be quenched by their actions. The word quench means to stifle, to choke, or to stop. When one says they have quenched their thirst, we mean by this that they have suppressed the pressing need to drink something. And it is interesting that Paul uses the word quench in reference to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is referred to in the Scripture as a fire. And John the Baptist told others that Jesus will be one to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit appeared as tongues of fire that rested on each of the believers. The author of Hebrews describes God as a consuming fire. When God appeared to Moses, God appeared in a burning fire in a bush. When God led the Israelites, He led them in a pillar of fire. During the Old Testament sacrificial Jewish system, offerings were to be consumed by fire. The priests were responsible to keep the fire lit at all time. So as God's people, as His priesthood, it is important for us to understand that we are possessors of this fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit, which is burning within us. And if we are not careful in our daily living, we may smother the influences of the Spirit. Now let's answer the question, How can the Spirit then be quenched? The Apostle Paul tells us here, quench not the Spirit. But he doesn't provide the details of how the Spirit can be quenched. And so it's something easy. It's something that they already know. They're already aware of. He doesn't give a lecture here on how, but he's assuming that they know that it is basic Christianity 101. And they need to work out in their own life so they do not quench the Spirit. But let me this evening give to you a couple of ways in which the Spirit can be quenched. First is that the Spirit can be quenched in our lives by sins of commission. In other words, when we do that which God's Word tells us not to do, we are pouring water onto the fire. We are suppressing the Spirit's fire. We are suppressing the empowerment and blessing of the Spirit in our lives. And such sins include those obvious sins, those sins that we deem as great sins. Open hypocrisy quenches the Spirit. Murder, idolatry, adultery, fornication, neglecting marital responsibilities, defiance towards parents. These are all things that are clear from the Word of God. And these are sins that displease the Lord and that pour water on the fire of the Holy Spirit. Loving the world quenches the Spirit. So the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to the world. But loving the world quenches the Spirit. Watching ungodly television shows and movies quenches the Spirit. Listening to ungodly music quenches the Spirit. And so this is obvious that such obvious sins, such ways of disobedience is pouring water on the fire of God's Spirit. But we also need to understand that there is also the element that sins that we view as small, as one author says, respectable sins, are sins that can quench the Spirit as well. And we often maximize the great sins, and we minimize those, quote, smaller sins. But all sin is sin in the sight of God. If we have the Spirit within us, and we give way to anything that is contrary to the Word and will of God, it can quench the Spirit. And such sins, such small, respectable sins, include laziness, lying, unthankfulness, covetousness, impatience, anger, stealing, selfishness, greed, gossip, slander, judgmentalism, discontentment. Oh, these are sins that we often justify and sins we allow into our life, but they are sins nevertheless. And they are sins that are spoken of in the Word of God, and we must not give way to them lest we quench the Holy Spirit's power in our life. So the Spirit can be quenched by sins of commission, but then the Spirit can be quenched by sins of omission. That is, when we do not do what God's Word tells us to do, we are neglecting to supply fuel for the fire. So there's two ways that a fire can go out. It can go out when you pour a bucket of water on it, when you take a fire extinguisher and extinguish the fire, or a fire can go out when you leave it alone, when you just let it burn, when you refuse to add wood to the fire, when you neglect to take paper and add it to the fire so it can continue to burn, when you take away oxygen from the fire will eventually go out. And so you see the two ways in which the Spirit, this fire, can be quenched. It can be quenched by sins of commission, by pouring water onto this fire, but
It can also be quenched when we don't add fuel to the fire, when we just leave it alone and we don't exercise the Christian graces, if you will, our Christian responsibilities. We can quench the Spirit through neglect. And God's Word explains the importance of prayer. It expounds on the need to soak our mind and our heart with the truth. It encourages believers to be under the preaching, to be among God's people, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Word encourages us to witness for His name, to preach the gospel to every creature, to love our families, to fight against sin. And when we neglect to do that which God has commanded us, we quench His Spirit. In James chapter 4, verse 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We often focus on the first more than the second, don't we? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, what about fanning the flame? What about pouring gasoline? What about dwelling in the presence of the Lord and working out our salvation with fear and trembling? We need to see that both of these ways can quench the Spirit. But why does this even matter? Why should we take heed to this exhortation? Well, primarily because God said it. God tells us, quench not the Spirit. That should be end of story, end of reasoning, done. We're not going to do it because God says it. Not only does God say it, we ought to obey it, but also it displeases Him. And we don't want to do those things which are displeasing in His sight. In a healthy child-parent relationship, a child should seek to do that which his mother and father tells him to do. There should be a fear in his heart that if he does something contrary to mom or dad's word, that it's going to grieve the heart of mom and dad. And so it is with our Father. We don't want to grieve the heart of God. We don't want God to look down upon us with displeasure. And so we obey this commandment. We seek to work it out. Quench not the Holy Spirit of God. But for sake of reasoning tonight, if you need more reasons that would encourage you not to quench the Spirit, let me give you three. The first one is this: quenching the Spirit will lead to His silence in our lives. Now remember, if you will, go back to the first lesson on the Spirit and remember how the Spirit works. Remember the functions of the Spirit. What does the Spirit do? The Spirit convicts. The Spirit empowers. The Spirit comforts. The Spirit intercedes. The Spirit illuminates. He guides. He sanctifies. He witnesses with our spirit. These are the works of the Holy Spirit. Now, quenching the Spirit may lead to an insensitivity to His conviction. Our hearts may become calloused, hardened towards sin. How does backsliding work? Well, it's giving way to sin a little bit. It's ignoring the piercings of the Spirit at first. And we ignore it so much that we then quench the Spirit of God. We're suppressing His convicting power, and we say we want to do what we want to do. The Spirit convicts. But if we give way to quenching His Spirit, we may end up with an insensitivity, a callousness. And we might be involved in the most heinous of sins. Quenching the Spirit can lead to us being spiritually weak in the work of the Lord. We don't have a mind for God's work. We feel very weak and insufficient when it comes to ministering. Well, it's because quenching the Spirit causes His silence in our lives. It can lead to a depressed spirit. Remember, the Spirit is the comforter. He is the paraclete, the one who comes alongside of, the one who brings the truth of God to our remembrance. And when one is downcast and downcast for a very, very long time, we may wonder if they've quenched the Spirit, because the Spirit is one who comforts. Is there something in their life that they have done or are continuing to do that is suppressing the Spirit from comforting their hearts through the Word of God? Because whom God loves, He corrects, He comes to, He encourages His children. When one of our children are discouraged, we don't leave them in that state. We don't want them to go weeks and months and years in that state. We come to them. We pull them upon our laps and we say, "What's wrong? Daddy's here for you." And so our Father, Abba Father, comes to us in our times of weakness, in our times of discouragement. But if we're suppressing the Spirit, if we're quenching the Spirit, He's going to be silent. He's not going to comfort us. The quenching of the Spirit can lead to unanswered prayer. A Christian can pray and it feels like he's just praying to the wall. He's praying to the ceiling. It feels like just a rote task. Nothing's happening. I'm praying, but I never see any answers to prayer. And then the Christian wonders, maybe it's not even worth praying. Oh, those church talks about prayer meetings, but there's nothing going on in the activity of prayer. There's no power in prayer. Well, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. There'll be a brick wall between us and God. Oh, yes, God does shower us with His mercy. He is long-suffering and patient with us. But the Bible does say that suppressing the Spirit does lead to unanswered prayer. Peter exhorts husbands to love their wives and to be gentle toward their wives. Because if we're not, we can suppress the Spirit so much that our prayers are hindered. And so the Spirit is the one who intercedes. We suppress the Spirit, we may not see answered prayer. We suppress the Spirit, it may lead to dullness in hearing the Word of God. No desire for the Word. We go to the Word and it just seems blank. They just seem like words on a page. We attend the church of God and we don't have spiritual understanding. We're not understanding what the preacher is saying. But quenching the Spirit leads to a dullness of the Word of God. The Spirit is one who illuminates. If we've gone to the Scriptures for a time and we do not have a burning in our soul because of the Scriptures, something's wrong. Something's terribly wrong. If we have no desire for the Word of God, something's wrong. Something's greatly wrong. Suppressing the Spirit, quenching the Spirit, may lead to a lack of guidance in our lives. And you've seen believers who wander around like dumb sheep, right? And there's no spiritual common sense, all right? You wonder, what persuaded them to do that? Why would they make that decision? Well, if they are living in sin, if they're suppressing the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's not going to guide them and lead them in the pathway of righteousness. The Spirit of God is going to give them over to their own way. And that's what God did with Israel when they wanted a king. They cried out to God for a king. All right, God says, you can have a king. So we must be careful. We should want God's guidance in our life. We should want Him to lead us and open the pathway that is best for us. But suppressing the Spirit may cause us to wander around, to lose time, to lose money, to lose opportunities for ministry. Suppressing the Spirit may lead to doubting of our salvation, all right? The Spirit is the one who witnesses with our spirit. The Spirit is the one who gives assurance. And have you ever known believers who wrestle with the assurance of their salvation? I'm not sure I'm saved. Am I really a Christian? Last week I was sure. This week not so much. Well, again, if we're quenching the Spirit, if we're giving way to sin, it's going to cause us to doubt. We're not going to be in a place of assurance when we give way to disobedience. We may have doubts if we truly belong to God, but those doubts may continue when we suppress the Spirit. So quenching the Spirit will lead to His silence in our life. And we should never, ever desire this. As a church, we should never desire that the Spirit would be silent. Close the door of the church if the Spirit is silent. There's no point in coming if the Spirit is silent. If He's dead to us, ministry is in vain. We should never desire this. Oh, we ask God, help the preacher preach in the power of the Spirit. Lord, as we come to your word, let the Spirit give us ears to hear what the Lord says. Oh, Spirit, break through my pride. Break through my unbelief. Spirit, save and do a mighty work, because revival comes from the Spirit. We should never want Him to be silent in our lives. And there's a second thing. Quenching the Spirit will lead to spiritual unfruitfulness. That is, it will keep us from growing in Christ-likeness. And Christ's desire for our lives is to be more like His Son. Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. After salvation comes sanctification. And we are saved to be like Jesus Christ. We are saved to be a bright and burning light to this world of God's grace. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. When we suppress the Spirit, when we quench the Spirit, it will lead to spiritual unfruitfulness. We will not have the love that God wants us to have. We will not have the joy that God wants us to have. We will not have the peace that God wants us to have. We will not be long-suffering with others. We will not be gentle with others. We will not know goodness or faith or meekness or temperance. We will not portray a clear picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you here, how have you grown spiritually over the years? Have you grown spiritually over the years? Can you look back at your Christian life, and have you seen evidences of God growing you, God purging you from this world, God drawing you to yourself, to Himself, God giving you victory over certain things that you used to love and enjoy? Can we see God separating us to Himself? What fruit do we have to show forth before the Lord Jesus Christ if you say, I have no fruit at all? I'm the same person as I was before I became a Christian. Something's wrong. Well, nothing has really changed in 10, 20 years. I'm the same person as I was when I first came to Christ. Something's wrong. Quenching the Spirit will lead to spiritual unfruitfulness. And then, quenching the Spirit will lead to ruining your testimony. Those who have ruined their testimony are those who have ignored the Spirit's convicting. You know the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, don't you? When you do something wrong and it's like God takes a hammer to your heart and says, ping, doesn't feel too good. You walk away from an opportunity to witness and the Spirit of God says, ping, ouch. But those who've ruined their testimony are those who've dampened the Spirit's warning. They've grieved the Spirit, and the Spirit has given them warning and exhortation. The Spirit has rattled their cage, so to speak. They have hated the rebukes of the Lord's Spirit and through His Word. They've cast aside friends and spiritual leaders who've come to them, seeking to exhort them towards spiritual things, and they've ruined their testimony. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Alexander the coppersmith, and Paul goes on and on about people who have left the spiritual things. We don't know their spiritual condition, but they were once serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and now they're not. They've ruined their testimony. Peter denies Christ. The Spirit of God pricks his heart. What does he do? He weeps. He responded in the right way, humbling himself. Oh, I've done foolishness, but God can restore me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I don't want my testimony to be ruined further. Lord, help me. He responded in a correct way. We should seek to guard our testimony. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So don't quench the Spirit of God, because it may lead to the ruin of your testimony. And we can look back and see people who've been a part of church. They've served in ministry positions. They've been pastors and deacons and Sunday school teachers. They've been in the choir. They've been ushers. They've been nursery workers. And we can name every ministry. They've been soul winners. And now, testimony's ruined. Let us take heed to ourselves, lest we fall. How does this happen? It happens by quenching the Spirit of God, by pouring water on the fire, and or neglecting to fuel the fire. So we must be sensitive to the pricking of the Spirit, to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading and guiding in our life. The Spirit can be quenched by willfully neglecting its grieving. In conclusion, let me give you the proper response that we ought to have as believers to the quenching of the Spirit. If we are giving way to sin, if we are grieving the Spirit, if we are quenching the Spirit, what should be our response? How can we then be restored? Is there hope? Yes, there's hope. Is there victory? Yes, there's victory. How then can we have it? Well, let me give you three things. The first is to examine and confess. If we quench the Spirit, we must come to a place of honesty before the Lord and say, Lord, I've done wrong. And I confess it as wrong. And I don't want it anymore in my life. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, to confess means to say the same thing as. It's to agree with God that this is evil. This is bad. This is hindering our relationship with the Lord. So we examine ourselves. Is there anything in my life? Why aren't my prayers being answered? Why don't I see spiritual fruit? Why does it seem I'm tossed to and fro on the waves of life? I don't get any guidance. Why is it when I come to the Word of God, there's no life? The preacher speaks of life, of the Word of God being a living book. But I go to the Word of God and I get nothing. Why is that? We examine ourselves and confess and repent. Perhaps we're not seeing blessing in our life because we're quenching the Spirit. Perhaps there's no blessing in our families because we're quenching the Spirit. Perhaps there's no blessing in the church because we're quenching the Spirit. We need to examine and confess. And then the second point is to be convinced of its seriousness. This is a very serious thing. Quenching the Spirit, quenching God Himself, is a very serious thing. And if we're not convinced of its seriousness, we will not take it seriously. If you're not convinced that an electrical box can zap you to the moon, you're not going to take it seriously. So look at the sticker with the man poking his finger at the box and that lightning bolt. Take it seriously. That's there for you. Don't touch it. So we need to take this seriously. If we come to this and say, oh, preacher, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm getting away with it. I'll be that one that doesn't fall. Take heed. Be convinced. This is serious. This can lead to our destruction. It's led to the destructions of others. And God has given us this as a warning sign. We need warning signs in life, don't we? When you're driving down the road, warning signs are not there to make you feel bad. To ruin your day. Warning sign. I'm never driving on the road again. No, they're there to be of help. So see the exhortation. See the urgency here. Paul is doing it to be a help to believers. Preachers preach on this to be a help to others. Not to harm, not to hurt. We need to be convinced of its seriousness. And then, after we examine and confess, after we're convinced of its seriousness, then we need to desire to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be moved by the Spirit's influence. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We should desire, Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit. Lord, I want to be led of your Spirit. Lord, I don't want to grieve your Spirit. I don't want to quench your Spirit. Lord, please keep me from this. I know my flesh. I know my weakness. I know that I'm able to fall into this spiritual ditch. I don't want to do it, Lord. Please help me to walk in a way that is worthy before you. This should be our desire. And you know what God says in Psalms? God gives us the desires of our heart. That's not a prosperity promise. It's not speaking of a Ferrari. You desire a Ferrari, you can have a Ferrari. You desire a mansion in Beverly Hills, you can have that mansion. No. God gives us that which is good for us. My children say, I want apples and oranges for lunch. I want to be healthy. Okay. That's a good desire. I'll give it to you. And so God does that. Things that are good and profitable for our lives, He gives us the desire of our heart. Now, God places the responsibility on us. This is man's responsibility. Paul says, you Christians, you church, despise not prophesyings, quench not the Spirit. This is your responsibility. Yes, the Spirit works in us and through us, but we respond. The choice is ours. Will we yield to the Spirit or grieve the Spirit? Will we be filled with the Spirit or quench the Spirit? Oh, church family, believer tonight, we need the Spirit's empowerment and blessing. How much can be accomplished if we are filled with the Spirit of God, if we are sensitive to His leading and guiding? What God could do with us when we walk in the Spirit of God. So we need the Spirit. We plead for this. And we must be careful not to push Him away. We must be careful not to pour water on the fire or neglect to pour fuel on the fire. Paul says, quench not the Spirit. Let's pray.